For well over a decade now, school districts all over the country have been adopting and enforcing so-called zero-tolerance policies. These policies claim to create a safer school environment by doling out harsh punishments to students for even a first violent offense. The idea of zero tolerance can feel really appealing to parents, teachers, and community members tired of all the news of violence in public schools. However, the reality of what happens to students under zero tolerance is far from the visions of newly safe schools that such policies often conjure for parents and policymakers.
So before, when we were fighting to change the policy, before that, every school had their own kind of ladder and escalation for certain incidents in the school. And it wasn't equal, so the punishment didn't match the severity of the offense. And if you were black or brown, you were more likely to be pushed out. And we were able to show that in our data.
In Denver, Colorado, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, an intergenerational grassroots organizing group, has managed to create a fundamental transformation in the culture and policy of discipline in their school district. A major part of this transformation has been the adoption of restorative practices.
Yeah, restorative justice is an alternative to suspensions, expulsions, or tickets. It's an opportunity for the student or administrator and student or teacher and student, anyone in the school, to have the opportunity to fix the problem, find a solution to any issue that arises. You know, it gives the opportunity to repair the harm and from there move forward without the consequence of suspension or loss of school time.
That was Lalo Montoya, a youth organizer with Padres y Jóvenes Unidos. I spoke with him and Denver student Brandon Garcia about the campaign. Brandon speaks about his experience with restorative practices.
When I was a freshman, it barely was being used at North. And they gave me the option of restorative justice, and it helped me a lot because they were going to suspend me for a fight for a whole week. And that would have been a whole week of me just missing school and not doing anything, and just my grades would have gone down. And so the option of restorative justice was just to sit down with the other person that was in the incident and talk about it and just make sure that everything was all right and that there was not going to be any future problems or anything.
I asked Lalo about the beginnings of the campaign.
It started at Cole Middle School. And Cole Middle School is one of the worst performing middle schools academically in the state of Colorado. And when we were working there, fighting for reform to improve the school with the parents, black and Mexicano parents, we came across the program Restorative Justice, and then we fought for it to find funding for it here in Denver, specifically for Cole Middle School. And then in just 1 year of implementation of the Restorative Justice program, there was a 67% drop in tickets to law enforcement in the school. And we're talking about middle school here. And just in 1 year, we saw that 70% drop.
After the success at Cole Middle School, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos helped obtain a 3-year grant for 17 schools to open their own restorative practice programs. Lalo explained to me that even after the grant ran out, many of these schools kept the programs as a part of their budget because they had become such a valuable part of the school's operations.
And that was the start of this campaign to end the school to jail track over at Cole Middle School and looking at the positive effects of having restorative justice in the school culture. And it then evolved into changing all the zero tolerance policies, which took 7 years to make it happen, to pressure the district to enter negotiations. And in negotiations, it took 3 years of negotiations and getting rid of zero tolerance policies here in Denver for the schools. Because we passed a new discipline policy that got rid of zero tolerance policies and really focuses on keeping students in school and learning, we've been able to make it so that, students have certain rights.
Brandon talks about what some of those rights are.
Before a student is suspended, the school has to talk to them about the incident, and they have to sit down. They have to sit down the two people that were involved in the incident, or the teacher and student, or whoever was involved, and they tell you what your charges are. And then the students also have a right to call their parents or guardian and tell their side of the story, present evidence or a witness, people that were around while the incident happened, And before you're suspended, the school has to offer you restorative justice. So that way that instead of getting suspended or expelled, you can fix the problem and stay in school.
By following the new policy, you can end the school to jail track that way as well. Because the policy is very explicit as to what can be referred to law enforcement and what incidents should not be referred to law enforcement. And then it also says, you know, what is a suspensionable offense and what is not.
So that way you won't get suspended for minor things. Like, school officials used to think that a little push and shove was an assault. So they would automatically suspend you and give you a ticket. Well, they can't do that no more. You can't be suspended for minor things unless it's continually repeated. And even if you are suspended, it can't be longer for more than 3 days. And you can't be expelled or ticketed unless you commit a serious offense or are continually disruptive.
Since the new policy was put in place, police tickets to students have gone down by 50% and out-of-school suspensions have gone down by 40%. However, according to Lalo and Brandon, the policy has been on the books for 2 years, but still has not been fully implemented. And many students, teachers, and parents don't know about the new rules.
Because it's one thing to win a campaign, the other thing is to actually make the change happen. So the youth that I've been working with, they decided to do a Know Your Rights campaign by doing school-wide assemblies. And the hope is that the more students know about their rights, the more pressure the schools will have and the district to fully implement the policy. We're going to go to every high school here in Denver and do these Know Your Rights presentations at school-wide assemblies. And at the school-wide assemblies, we actually talk about institutional racism and what the school to jail track is. We want to educate more than 50% of students and teachers. I mean, we'll do that within the next 3 months of when school starts again. Yeah, and we're changing the culture, you know, we're changing it from being punitive to having a learning environment that's going to prepare us for college. And that's been our call all along, that our schools get rid of that punitive, violent culture and start, you know, respecting and treating everyone with dignity. And we're seeing that, but we're pushing to see it at a wider scale right now.
One example of the change in school culture that these policies can bring about is the fact that more than 50% of the cases brought to restorative practices have been preventative, meaning that rather than just punishing students after the fact, the policy prevents violent incidents from even happening in the first place. Looking forward, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos plans to continue to educate students about their rights and is building towards a statewide convening of young people from other districts seeking a similar transformation in their discipline policies. As Student Union continues to build our campaign for nonviolent schools, we look towards other organizations all across the country like Padres y Jóvenes Unidos that are fighting for and winning a school system that respects young people and helps us to become the nonviolent leaders that we all deserve to be. This has been Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.